Hello and welcome to our site. Today in Cape Town, this 13th of March 2022, is the famous Cape Town Cycle Tour, previously known as the Argus, where thousands of cyclists will be competing in this marathon of a cycle tour through this beautiful, fairest cape in all the world. But because of the cycle tour, I'm not able to get to our church today to preach the message. And so I'm going to put on site right now a relevant message, I believe, and I trust it's going to be a word from the Lord that will encourage you and challenge you as the eyes of the world are upon Ukraine, this amazing country whose brave, brave people have been standing out against a massive Russian invasion. And so I want to share with you today just a word of encouragement that I've entitled, Fear Not, Kingdoms Rise and Fall. Fear Not, Kingdoms Rise and Fall is the title of our meditation. And right up front, I want to acknowledge my esteemed friend and colleague in ministry, Terran Williams, who's written some outstanding notes on the book of Daniel. Of course, I've consulted with others, like Beth Moore's notes, and there's just a host of excellent Bible scholars who give us good expositions of the Hebrew prophet Daniel. Daniel, this teenager of 15 or 16 years old, who was taken captive to Babylon when Babylon besieged Jerusalem in 605 BC under Nebuchadnezzar, the king of the empire, the Babylonian Empire. And Daniel, during his 60 years or so of captivity in Babylon, gives to us words of prophecy that actually are still having their fulfillment today and are still to be finally fulfilled when Jesus comes again. Well, I don't have to remind you that today the might and the forces of Russia are seeking to lay siege to the capital city, Kyiv, of Ukraine. And so as we begin this morning, I'd like you to join me in prayer as we pray, first of all, in the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, and then allow me to lead you in prayer as you pray with me in your heart and spirit as we pray today for the body of Christ, the Church of the Lord Jesus, in Ukraine particularly, where there are over a few hundred thousand believers in Jesus in Ukraine and thousands of churches and fellowships, many of them turned into centers of mercy at this present moment, helping people who are in need. So let's bow together in prayer and let's trust God for a really meaningful time together this morning. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Grant us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we fully and freely forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Heavenly Father, we realize in the teaching of your word that we are not wrestling simply against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And we thank you that this morning, those of us who follow Jesus can put on the full armor of God and wage a good warfare in the Spirit. We thank you and praise you for the belt of truth in Jesus, for the helmet of your salvation, for the breastplate of your righteousness, for the shoes of the gospel, ready to take the good news of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, to the world in these troubled times. And thank you, dear Lord, for the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and for the shield of faith, by which we can quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And thank you for the Holy Spirit's help as we pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayer. And Lord, we just thank you today that we can unite with believers all over the world as we pray for Christians in Ukraine, and we pray also for Christians in Russia. And we ask, dear Lord, that you would wonderfully work in the Church of Jesus Christ today, throughout Europe, throughout Russia, and around the world, that this invasion of Ukraine will stir the Church to spiritual action, to intercession, and to prayer. For we thank you, dear Lord, that more things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. And so we thank you, Father God, for this channel that we have to the very throne of the universe, to the almighty, all-knowing, ever-present God, the creator and sustainer, the sovereign of all, and of Jesus, who is King of kings and Lord of lords, all-powerful, ever-present, for the gift of your Holy Spirit, who is able to guide us, teach us, comfort us, strengthen us, help us. And so our prayers go up to the throne of your grace today, Father God, for our brothers and sisters in Jesus, in Ukraine, and especially those who are in danger. And we just pray, Father God, for the church in Ukraine today, and ask that you would do wonderful works through this tragic conflict and bring about your eternal purposes. Thank you that you're at work in everything for the good of those who love you. And so give wisdom to those who lead, and we pray in the strong name of Jesus that you would drive back the forces of evil and of darkness, and grant that truth may triumph, and that the gospel of Jesus Christ may triumph over the evil that is being propagated, the lies that are being propagated in these days. Reign, King Jesus, reign, is our prayer. And now speak to us through your word, as we open the word to this ancient prophecy of Daniel. And we thank you, Father, that you have a relevant word for us today, some things that we can learn from Daniel and the time that he went through when Jerusalem was besieged. Speak to us, Lord, for your servants are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to begin by reading from the book of Daniel, and so if you have your Bible handy, and I do hope you have your Bible with you, let's turn together to the prophecy of Daniel in the Old Testament. It comes after the prophecy of Ezekiel. And so Daniel in the Old Testament, and chapter 1, we read, "In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia, and put the treasure put in the treasure house of his God," small g. "Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. Among these were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names: to Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, and to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, 'I'm afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other men of your age? The king would then have my head because of you.' Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, 'Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see.' So he agreed to this, and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the god took away their choice food and wine, and they were to drink that they were to drink, and he gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them in, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled and he could not sleep. And so the king summoned the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, astrologers, to tell them what he had dreamed. And if I can just move into the story there myself, you may know it so well, none of them were able to interpret a dream that couldn't even be told to them by the king. And so Daniel summoned his friends, and they got down to prayer. And Daniel asked the king for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. Returned to his house, verse 17, explained the matter to his friends, urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. What did he do? Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons." Listen to this. "He sets up kings and deposes them." He sets up kings and deposes them. "He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, O God of my fathers. You've given me wisdom and power, and you've made known to me what we asked of you. You've made known to us the dream of the king." And so Daniel tells King Nebuchadnezzar the dream that he had. It is a dream about this enormous statue, a large statue, verse 31, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue is made of gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay. While you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, and the bronze, and the silver, and the gold were broken to pieces at the same time and became like chaff on a threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace, but the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven, verse 44, will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain, but not by human hands, a rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. Well, the result of that was that the king of Babylon was amazed because the interpretation was exactly right. The statue had a head of gold. It represented the Babylonian Empire, an empire that only lasted about 66 years. The torso was of silver, representing the Medo-Persia kingdom or empire that was followed, an empire that lasted about 220 years. And then the waist of bronze represented the Greek Empire, You will recall how Alexander the Great, that great Greek conqueror, wept because there were no more worlds to conquer. That was about 185 years BC. And so this rather about 331 BC under Alexander the Great, this Greek Empire lasted about 185 years and was followed by the Roman Empire, represented by the iron legs in the statue. That began about 146 BC and lasted about 5 centuries, really. The point is, human kingdoms will rise and fall, and Daniel makes mention of that in his prayer of praise to God. No matter how great and fearsome the kingdoms of man may appear at the time, they will rise and they will fall at the hand of God. Like sandcastles on the beach, the tide of time will wash them away. Try to march forward without God, and you end up going backwards. And so there is this amazing vision of a broken-off stone that crushes the statue's feet and becomes a mountain that fills the earth. That is a prophetic word concerning Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who came the first time 2,000 years ago as the suffering servant mentioned in the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 53. But he will come again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the book of Revelation gives you the full story of that in rich symbolism and type and vision. And so connect Daniel with the book of Revelation, and you've got two of the great prophetic books in the Bible that show you that ultimately all sovereignty, all power, and eternal reign belongs to Jesus Christ, God's eternal Son. But there are some lessons that we can learn, and Terran Williams, and particularly, and Beth Moore and others that I have been consulting in my research in Daniel, give us some wonderful points. We learn that at the present time, friends, God, in his infinite wisdom, which is way beyond our finite wisdom, of course, God, in his infinite wisdom and understanding, tolerates immense suffering and evil. We sometimes wonder, God, how can you let this evil go on? How can you let these people in Ukraine and these beautiful historic towns and cities and villages be destroyed like this, and millions of people flee, millions and millions of lives get shattered, and so many thousands of people get killed in a war? There never seem to be winners in a war. One of the lessons we learn in Scripture is that God has an immense capacity to tolerate suffering and evil, but we also learn that God superintends the evil and suffering in this world for higher purposes. As the prophet Isaiah says, his ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are so much higher than ours, higher than the heavens or above the earth. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 8:28, God is at work in everything for the good of those who love him. And so, for now, God tolerates immense suffering and evil. The reason we have to leave that with God, believing that somehow he has an eternal perspective and will work it for good, that he superintends the evil and the suffering for his eternal divine purposes and for the good of man, ultimately. And then thirdly, that God will not put up with evil and suffering forever. Here's the good news, friend. One of these days, Jesus will return. He will return in righteousness and power, and he will judge the world in righteousness, and every evil will be dealt with justly and punished eternally, and he will restore what has been broken in the lives of human beings who call to him in prayer and who trust him with their lives. Yes, here's the good news. God will not put up with evil and suffering forever. No, there is a day when his mercy will come to an end. Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, So will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were living carelessly, mindlessly, godlessly. And suddenly the flood came. It's going to be like that at the end time, and I believe we have entered the end time. We need to be sure that we have a right relationship with God, the God who will not put up with evil forever. The time is limited for evil to prevail. And then fourthly, we learn from Daniel that while we wait for our future, we must work for God in the present. Daniel worked for God in the present evil situation that he found himself in, and we must do the same. Praise God for so many thousands and thousands of Christ followers in Ukraine this very day who are serving the Lord faithfully, pastors and people, church leaders, elders, deacons, shepherds of God's flock, who are doing everything they can to minister to the needs of God's people and indeed all the people that they're able to. And so, fifthly, we learn God is able to put people into positions of influence, even in the worst of times. And we pray that God will do that in these days. Terry Williams draws our attention to the fact that having power is overrated. Nebuchadnezzar thought that he was just the most powerful person in the world. And I think Putin probably thinks the same of himself at this stage. But power can be terribly overrated, can't it? Even though the king was able to give good orders, even though his word was a final word of authority, did you notice the king didn't have a good night's sleep? Friend, you can have all the riches and power in the world and not have peace in your heart. And certainly Nebuchadnezzar didn't have peace in his heart. And those who have espoused this evil plan for the invasion of Ukraine, I doubt whether they know anything about real peace, and I wonder if they have a good night's sleep. Having power is terribly overrated. As you know, power tends to corrupt, and you know the little saying that absolute power corrupts absolutely. Well, Daniel and his friends had just a few hours to live, and they called to God in prayer, and God answered their need. And Daniel shows us how we can live in these crisis times, what we can learn about God, that he's able to work in and through even those who don't know him. He gave the king a vivid dream. It was a pagan king who had this vivid dream that Daniel was able to interpret because God gave him the gift of interpretation, a word of knowledge and wisdom. And then God often creates difficulties, friend, to show us just how much we desperately need him. He brings about situations that are way beyond our wisdom and often way beyond our control. Why does he do that? Because God knows that sometimes it's only when we come to the end of our rope that we'll actually call upon him. And I believe God in these days is giving a wake-up call to the whole world that we might wake up spiritually, wake up to the reality of God. I hear of people these days who are reading their Bible, who haven't read their Bible for years. People are asking, what does the book of Revelation teach? What do the Hebrew prophets teach us about what's happening today in the world? Where do these European nations fit in to Daniel's prophecy and Revelation and these wonderful unveilings of truth of the end times? Yes, it's relevant. I hope that you're reading your Bible and that you're looking to God for his word. God is able to work in these times in an amazing way. Yes, sometimes he creates our difficulties to show us just how much we need him, brings about situations that are way beyond us to understand or control, so that we will, like Daniel and his friends, call out to him in sincerity and in truth. And then God creates situations where we as Christ followers can succeed where others fail. You remember Joseph in Egypt. how God gave him such success, sold into slavery, mistreated, misjudged, cast into prison unjustly. And yet God gave Joseph, like he gave Daniel, the ability to interpret the king's dreams. And Joseph ended up as kind of prime minister of Egypt, God's messenger to deliver not only his chosen people Israel, who were born into a great nation in Egypt, but the people of Egypt themselves. God demonstrates his power and grace through Christians during times of great difficulty. He's done that all through history. He's doing it today in Ukraine. So, what should we do then, in closing? Well, Daniel would teach us to just rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for God to act. Remain calm. Daniel just remained prayerful throughout this time of difficulty that he was going through. Remain calm. Rest in the Lord. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Rest in the great love of Jesus. Abide in Christ and let Christ abide in you. And as you have this love relationship with Jesus, you know that whatever you ask according to God's will, he will grant it to you. And then Daniel gathered knowledge and wisdom. And friends, in these critical times, we need to do the same. Do all that we can. Be enthusiastic about gathering all the knowledge you can about the situation. I have to confess, I've spent hours and hours glued to CNN and to the news channels, to BBC and Sky and the news channels that are giving us the up-to-the-minute reports on the Ukrainian situation. I mean, I haven't done that all day and all night, but I believe as a responsible Christ follower, I need to be knowledgeable about what is happening so that I can be intelligent in my praying. And then, like Daniel, we need to enlist the help of people. I so enjoy our prayer meetings in our fellowship here in Cape Town. And those prayer meetings are the powerhouse of the church. They're also God's means of bringing spiritual awakening and blessing to the body of Christ in other places. And so we need to enlist the encouragement and help of fellow believers in these days and to make sure that together in community, we are seeking the Lord, giving ourselves to be channels of intercession. For God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. And so, friends, let us lean into one another. Let's make sure that you're part of a church family, a Bible-believing church family, and lean into the people of God. Do your best to contribute fully to the life of the local church, a spirit-filled community, a powerhouse for God. And then, of course, pray, and pray without ceasing, as the Apostle Paul enjoins us to do. This is the way to live in crisis times. Fear not, friend. Kingdoms rise and fall. As Daniel said in his prayer, and with this I close, praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. Father, in your time, depose Putin and all his cronies in the name of Jesus. He sets up kings and opposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. Thank you, Lord, for the wisdom that you've given to President Zelensky. Continue to give him wisdom and all his people. We pray once again too, Lord, that you will reveal deep and hidden things, because you know what lies in the darkness, as Daniel prayed. Light dwells with you, and so we thank you and we praise you, O God of our fathers, that you give wisdom and power, and you make known to us what we ask of you. And so we come to the close of our sermon, and Once again, Heavenly Father, we just cry out to you for our brothers and sisters in Christ, in Ukraine, in Belarusia, in Russia, and in all the countries, Lord, of NATO, and all the countries of the world. Lord, this is your world. The earth is the Lord's and the people who dwell therein, Psalm 24. And so we pray that you would hear our cry. Lord, we recognize, just as the psalmist said in Psalm 2, that people are raging and people are imagining vain things. And so we just come to you, Lord, in the recognition, as the psalmist did, inspired by the Holy Spirit in Psalm 2. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers together against the Lord and against his anointed one, that is the Lord Jesus. Let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters. The one enthroned in heaven laughs, Psalm 2, verse 4. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king, that's the Lord Jesus, on Zion, my holy hill. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I've become your father. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance and the ends of the earth your possession. You will rule them with a rod of, with an iron scepter. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, that is the Son of God, Jesus, lest he be angry and you be destroyed in your way, for his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all those who take refuge in him. Psalm 3, you, O Lord, are a shield around me. You bestow glory on me and lift up my head. To the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers me from his holy hill. I lie down and sleep, and I wake again, because the Lord sustains me. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. And so, our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We pray that in these days your people all over the world will fill their hearts and minds with your word, will pray your word, and, Lord, that will be instruments of intercession. Summon your armies, O God, and grant great victory for righteousness and truth, we pray. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen.